This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. We continue in Masechta Yevamos. Daf Chaf Hey. Koy Yezaracha. Okay, so the Gemara, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah was on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. And the Mishnah said that someone who is suspected of living with an Eish HaSish and the man divorced his wife, so if you marry that woman, in other words, if you were suspected of living with a married woman, and because of the suspicions, she was divorced from her husband, then even though you married her, you will have to divorce her. And Rav explained that the reason for that is, the scenario that we're talking about is the Edim say that you are Mezana with her. However, if it's just rumors, then if it's just rumors alone, then you married her, then you do not have to divorce her. The Gemara brought a braisa that says rumors alone would be a reason to divorce her, and the Gemara says, well, really, Rav is correct, the Mishnah is correct, that in order to divorce a woman because of suspicion, there has to be testimony. We have a braisa that rumors alone is enough of a reason to divorce a woman. So the Gemara said the author of the braisa is Rebbe, because Rebbe is of the opinion that a very suspicious situation is enough to force a husband to divorce his wife. So the Gemara is sort of comparing a suspicious situation to a rumor. And the same way Rebbe holds a suspicious situation is enough a reason to divorce one's wife, so too, a rumor is enough of a suspicion to divorce one's wife. Now the braisa that says that you would divorce your wife because of a rumor was Bamedva Mamrum Kisha Ein Loi Banim Aba Yesha Banim Loi Teitze. That you're Teitze when it's Ein Loi Banim, even when there's no Edim. Okay, so one of the suspicious situations are if a husband comes home and the perfume peddler is leaving the house as you get home and you look under the bed and the shoes are turned upside down, so that looks like somebody's been doing something suspicious and trying to cover up. Says Gemara, Amar Minolim Afuchim Tachas Amita, Amar Rebbe, Hol Mechur Hadavar, since it's disgusting, Teitze. You have to divorce her. Says the Gemara, Minolim Hafuchim, if the shoes are turned upside down, Lachse Demaninu, why don't we just see whose it is? Why don't we just see whose shoes it is? Says the Gemara, in other words, look at the shoes. If the shoes say Yankel Ben Ploini, and the peddler's name is Yankel Ben Ploini, you know he was Mazan with her. If the shoes say, you know, the Admir of North Dakota, then it wasn't the shoe salesman. Then, you know, somebody else left their shoes under the bed. So why don't we just see whose shoes it is? So the Gemara says the shoes are not there anymore. Says the Gemara, why don't we just look whose shoes these are? It means the place of the shoes are turned over. In other words, as Rashi explains, it is recognizable from the place where the shoes were turned over that, in fact, the shoes were turned over under the bed. In other words, it's recognizable someone's shoes were under the bed. Those shoes are no longer there. So it looked like somebody tried to cover over something, although the evidence is no longer there, but it's been removed. Okay, so now the Gemara comes out with a statement of conclusion. So we have a machlokes. Rav holds, rumors are not enough of an indication, not enough of evidence for somebody to divorce their wife, and Rebbe is of the opinion they are. Says the Gemara, who do we paskin like? The Hilchasa Kvasei de Rav, the Hilchasa Kvasei de Rebbe. The halacha is in accordance with Rav, and the halacha is in accordance with Rebbe. So how could that be? Rav holds, rumors don't cut it. Rebbe holds, rumor does cut it. Says Gemara, Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa. It's a contradiction, one halacha on another halacha. Says the Gemara, like Kasha, there's no difficulty. Ha bekala de pasik, ha bekala de lay pasik. It depends whether the rumor was incessant or the rumor paused. If it's a kala de pasik, if it was a rumor that paused, so then it's not an authoritative rumor. And therefore, Rav is correct, a rumor alone like that, that stops, is not enough of a reason to cause someone to divorce their wife. Ha bekala de lay pasik. But here we're talking about a rumor that is incessant. An incessant rumor, we would follow Rebbe's opinion that that would force a husband to divorce his wife. Okay? So that's the Gemara's halachic conclusion. That if it's an uninterrupted rumor, a person would have to divorce their wife. If it's a rumor that is quieted, it's interrupted, a person would not have to divorce their wife. Says Gemara, Kala dulai pasuk, Veleka edim karebi. A rumor that's incessant, that is not interrupted, but there are no witnesses to it. Karebi will hold like Rebbe that a person would have to divorce their wife. Kala de pasik. But if the rumor is interrupted, then veika edim. But there's witnesses that the rumor is correct. Karav, that you would have to divorce your wife because of the witnesses, but without the witnesses, one would not have to. Now, what is the definition of an uninterrupted rumor? How long does a rumor have to last for to be authoritative? It says Gemara, "V'kala d'lay pasik ad kama," and a voice, a rumor that is uninterrupted. How long does it have to last for it to be considered authoritative? Amar Abaye, Amar Li Aim. Abaye said, "My mother told me." Now, that's an interesting statement. Abaye says, "My mother told me." What do you mean, his mother? We know Abaye was a Yasum. In fact, Arizal says that Abaye is a Rashi Tevois for a Pasuk in Tehillim. Asher Becha Yerucham Yasim. There's a Pasuk in Tehillim. Asher Becha Yerucham Yasim. Because Abaye was a Yasum. But his mother means his wet nurse. Now, when your wet nurse is teaching you Torah, then that produces someone like Abaye. I mean, when you're hearing Chidushei Torah from your wet nurse, it's in your milk. But my mother told me, Duma demasa yomapaga, a rumor of a city is a day and a half. Okay, so right now we're saying if a rumor is a day and a half, that's considered uninterrupted, it's authoritative, you'd have to divorce your wife. If a rumor is only one day, you don't have to divorce your wife. V'loy amron, ela dolay pasuk beni ubeni. When we say it lasts for a day and a half, that means it continues and flows freely without any interruption at all. Av a pasuk beni ubeni ha pasuk. But if it interrupts in the middle of that day and a half, even though it picks up after, but it was not continuous for a day and a half, that is not an authoritative rumor. However, the Pesukim say, the Yam Shel Shlomo says, if after the interruption it then continues another day and a half, so then it would be considered a valid rumor based on the second rumor. Okay. V'loy amron el adulay pasuk machmas yira. This that we say if the rumor interrupts, it's not a valid rumor. That's only if the reason why it interrupted was, it did not interrupt out of fear of the people who the rumor was about. But what if the rumor was about Echves, someone on the Democratic Party, that you're afraid that they're going to send their liberal friends after you? Aval pasak machmas yira. But if it interrupted because of fear, so then that's not considered an interruption, machmas yirahu. Then that's considered interruption out of fear, and therefore halachically it's considered an uninterrupted rumor, even though it was interrupted, but because it was interrupted for outside reasons, for reasons of fear, that is not a halachic interruption. V'loy amron. This that we say an uninterrupted rumor is considered authoritative, ela deleka oivim, where the people, the man and the woman about whom the rumor was about, do not have enemies in the city. Avalika oivim, but if we know they have enemies in the city, the fact that there's a rumor about them is not indicative at all of something fishy. Maybe their enemies are just spreading rumors about them. Oivim hu da'afkulei lakala. Fine. So now we come to a little bit of a new subject. Similar to the Mishnah discussed somebody who is suspected of living with a married woman, and because of that suspicion, the woman had her divorced from her husband, you can't marry her. So now we're going to discuss, what if somebody was suspected of living with a married woman, and the husband divorces her, can he take her back? Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah over there, this is a Mishnah in Gittin, Mem Hei Amad Beis, also quoted in Ksubais, Ayin Dalet Amad Beis. Tanan Hasam, Hamoitzias Ishtoi Misham Shemra, one who divorces his wife because she has a bad name, there are rumors about her, Lo Yachzer, you can never take her back. Why? The reason is, if you're able to take back a woman who you divorced because of rumors, then we're going to be afraid that a person might divorce his wife because of suspicion. She'll go marry someone in the interim, and he'll wake up one day, oh, I didn't know the rumors weren't true. Oh, if I would have known the rumors aren't true, I never would have divorced her in the first place. Meanwhile, she had 17 kids from the next guy, and he's going to render her, and he divorced her. Now he's saying, no, I didn't really mean to divorce her. If I would have known, I never would have divorced her. I didn't divorce her. She's still married to me. So he's going to put into question all the children she has from the second guy. So therefore we tell him, pal, you better make sure you want to divorce this woman, because if you're going to divorce her out of suspicions, you should know you can never take her back, even if the suspicions are proven to be untrue. Mishum neder layasa. Let's say your wife makes a neder that she's never going to cook for you cholent. You say, that's it. You make a neder, you're never going to cook for cholent, that's it, we had enough. So he divorces her. Then he goes to the doctor. The next day, the doctor says that you're allergic to cholent. He said, if I would have known that I'm allergic to cholent, I never would have divorced her. Meanwhile, she had 93 kids with her second husband. They're all going to be mamzerim. So if a man divorces his wife because of a neder, we basically say to the woman, we say to the guy, you should know that if you're divorcing her because of a neder, don't say, oh, if I would have known that I could have been matir the neder, I never would have done it. Because the bottom line is, you could never take her back, no matter what. Okay, so, Tanan Hasam, somebody who divorces his wife because of a bad name, la yachzer, you cannot take her back. Mishum neder, someone who divorces his wife because of a vow, la yachzer, you cannot take her back. Shalach le Rabba Bar Huna le Rabba Bar Nachman. Rabba Bar Huna sent a message to Rabba Bar Nachman. Excuse me, to Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. Yelamedenu Rabbeinu. Can the Rebbe please teach us? Kanas Mahu Sheyotzi. What if the guy, after divorcing a woman because of a rumor, did take her back? We said the halacha is Lo yachzer. What if he took her back? Similar to the Mishnah, that if somebody's nitan aleishas ish, he cannot marry her, and if he does, he has to divorce her. So what about if instead of the person suspected of having relations with this married woman wants to take her back, what if the husband, after divorcing her, wants to take her back? You hear the shaila? Everybody here? The Shaila, the Mishnah said that the boyel, the suspected adulterer, he cannot marry her, this woman who he's suspected of being with. But if he did, he has to divorce her. Well, what if the husband divorced her? Can he take her back? So, this was the Shaila Rabba Bar Rav Huna asked Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. Amar Le Rabba Bar Rav Nachman said, Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, Hanitan Aleish Asish, someone who's suspected of adultery, v'hoitziyua, and he divorced her, mitachas yadoi, afa pisha kanas yoitzi, even though he married her, he divorces her. So the same way in the Mishnah, if the Boyel lives with her, he has to divorce her. Why don't we say the same thing about the husband? If he marries her, he has to divorce her. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Tanina hanitan v'hasam nami mafkia mibala. We take her out of the husband. Tikim the hoitzia mishum shemra. Look in the Hagois v'tziyunim. He changes the gears a little bit. V'hasam nami mafkia inon mibala. We take her out of the husband's domain. Tikim the hoitzia mishum shemra. If the husband divorced her because of rumors, gila daito shakol ames. He's revealing that the rumor was true. Venesrel, and she's also to him. So, kihechi da asrinan lo hacha mishum shachzik lo hakol kishakonsa. The same way, if the boyel lives with her, we make him divorce her because he's showing that the rumor was true. Right? If the boyel marries her, he's showing that the rumor was true. Right? In other words, if the husband divorces her, he's sort of admitting to that the rumor is true. So if he's admitting the rumor is true, then if the boyel lives with her, we're going to make the boyel divorce her, because the husband holds the rumor is true. So too, the husband should have to divorce her if he married her, because since he divorced her, he was maintaining the rumor was true. So Gemara says it's not a good analogy. What the boyel has to do to this woman should not be a barometer of what the husband has to do with this woman. Why? Amarle mi dami hasam haitziuha. In the Mishnah, we're talking about where Edim, Bezdin made him divorce her. That means we have testimony that she in fact was Mezana with this fellow. So how could this fellow marry her? He is the acclaimed, established Boyel. We have testimony he's the Boyel. But our Shaila was Hamoitzi Asishim Yishim Shemra. They're just rumors that she was unfaithful. But now the husband says, look, I thought the rumors were true. Now I've come to realize that the rumors were fabricated. So mi dami hasam haitziyah v'acha haitziyah. Over there in our Mishnah, we have testimony. So we have testimony. Avada, the boyo cannot marry her. But now we're just suspicious that she was guilty of something of impropriety. So if it's just suspicion, if the husband wants to take her back, maybe he doesn't have to divorce her. So the question is, what was Rabba Bar Rav Nachman thinking? How in the world does the Mishnah indicate anything? So Gemara says, Rabba Bar Rav Nachman mas nisa nami hoitziya tanan. Rabba Bar Rav Nachman's girsa in the Mishnah was not hoitziya with edus, but rather hoitziya, the husband just decided to divorce her. Good, everyone. So far, so good. Everyone in a good mood? Good, great. Says Gemara, Va'akati midami, is it similar? It's still not similar. Why? Hacha baal v'hasam boyel. Over here, we're dealing with the husband. Listen carefully. The husband divorced her. So the husband divorced her because he thought the rumors are true. But now he wants to take her back because he doesn't think the rumors are true anymore. So why can't he take her back? I, the boyel, can't marry her? Because by the boyel marrying her, he's giving more credibility to the rumor. We were suspicious the boyel lived with this woman. And therefore we made her get divorced from her husband. If the adulterer is going to marry this woman, if anything, that gives more substantiation to the rumor. So if he marries her, he has to divorce her. But if the husband wants to take her back, it gives less substantiation to the rumor. That shows that he thinks that the rumor is not true. If the baal marries her, that seems to indicate that the rumor is true. If the baal wants to marry her, that seems to indicate the rumors are not true. You're right. You could say that. However, you still cannot draw absolute proof from the case of the boyel, because maybe only in the boyel case he has to divorce her, because there it looks bad. In other words, by the boyel, him marrying her gives credibility. The Baal marrying her, you're right, maybe despite the fact that he is still suspicious, he wants her back anyway. Or maybe it's because he's come to realize the rumors are not as true, but it's not as incriminating as on the Baal. So you can prove him there.
Why can't they just ask the husband?
Ask the husband what?
What he felt. I mean, why are we guessing? This is a guessing game. What's in his head? We're playing like, because he did this, that's what he thought. Why don't you just ask him, like, what do you feel? Like,
I don't know that we would believe him, because I think what Michael's saying is a possibility. In other words, he may really think...
No, he has no nemanos? I mean, he lost all his nemanos. They definitely have to resurrect. I mean, same thing with the shoes a little bit. You know, like, we're looking at an action, and we're defining... You know, the upside down shoes, you know, like, okay, that means that maybe these two people were very neat and they put their shoes away nicely. Who says that everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's interesting that the Gemara is picking these.
I mean, it's a little suspicious. The guy's selling perfume and nobody asked him to take his shoes off. You know, what's going on with the shoes by the Mita? That's not really, that's not a good scene, you know?
Listen, nothing's a good scene, but we're just guessing based on their actions and it seems a little bit unusual.
By the way, now you know why a Baal Lashon Hara is called a Roichel, you know? Because he's chatting all day with the Nashim. You know, he's a Roichel. Anyway, here's the thing. The Shaila is that one is not allowed to do something that fuels a rumor. So when the Baal takes her back, it's not fueling a rumor. If anything, it's putting the rumor to rest. In other words, we don't really know what happened. We just know we don't want somebody to be involved in something that gives credibility to a rumor. So when a Baal marries the woman, it gives more credibility. When the Baal takes her back, if anything, it gives less credibility. Says the Gemara, Amar le shaper dami adadi. It is similar. Hacha amar rabbanan lo yichnois imkanas yoitzi. In our Mishnah, the rabbi said, don't marry her, and if you do, you have to divorce. So here also, I mean, whatever the case is, shouldn't you be able to draw an analogy that when the rabbis say, don't do something, and then they say, if you do it, you gotta undo it, so why can't we apply that to the case of the husband? Hachanami, Amri Rabban, Layasim, Kanas Yoitzi. So Gemara says, again, the Gemara, this is not really a compelling question. Because we already made a split between the Baal and the Baal, but the Gemara didn't say it clear enough for the Makshin to be at ease, and therefore the Tarzan just clarifies the Chiluk between the Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amud Beis in reference to the Baal remarrying the woman, and the Mishnah cited here on Chav Hayam and Aleph regarding the Baal taking her back. Hasam alume almei lekalei. There, by the Baal marrying her, it strengthens the rumor. Hacha, but here, Amrina, we say, kam bei bekala velesa. He investigated the coil, and it is no longer. Okay. Now we come to some other cases of suspicion. Hamivi gem imedina sayam. One who brings a document of divorce from overseas, right? We know from the beginning of Gittin, Hamivi ger mi medina sayam, tsarach sheyoymer, befanai nechta, befanai nechta. We know that when you bring a get from overseas, since in overseas they might not be proficient in the law, that a document of divorce has to be written for the sake of the husband and the wife, that has to be lishma, therefore, the shliach has to say, "Befanai nechtav uvefanai nechtam." It was written and signed before me, and I am witness to the fact that it was done properly. So, maybe gem dinasiyam v'amar befanai nechtav v'anai nechtam. So, here's the story: Yaakov is divorcing Rachel, Pliny is divorcing Plinus. Yeah, and he sends a shliach. The shliach's name is Mohammed, a Jewish guy. And Mohammed says, by the way, Befanai Nechti tells Shprinsi, guess what? I was witness to your husband executing a really good get. And then the next thing he said, by the way, you want to marry me? Now that's a little suspicious, no? Hamivi gem medina sayam, ba'am Befanai Nechti, Befanai Nechtam. So when he brings a document of divorce from overseas and he says, it was written before me, it was signed before me, lo yisa es ishtai. He can't marry his wife. Don't testify about a get and then marry the woman, because that looks suspicious. It looks like you have an invested interest over here. Mace. Someone who testifies that somebody died. Haragtiv. Or I killed him. He comes into the woman. He says, by the way, your husband died. She said, what happened? He had a heart attack? No, I killed him. You want to marry? Harei amikudeshesli. Yeah. Or Harganuhu. We killed him. Meaning me and Fivel, we together killed your husband. By the way, would you like to get married? Lo yisusheshe. Can't marry the woman. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, haragtiv lo tinase yishtai. Rabbi Yehuda says like this. If you say, I killed him, so you're a Rasha. If you're a Rasha, you're not believed. So you can't marry her. Like Tinas Ishtay. Harganua, we killed him. So then, Lav Dafka, are you a Rasha? Tinase la Ishtay. We'll see in the Gemara why, if you say, we killed him, you can marry the wife. Okay. Says the Halakha Gemara, Taima Dmei Medinas Hayam. The reason why you cannot marry a woman when you bring a get from overseas is because you brought it from overseas. And when you bring a get from overseas, we're relying on you for the get to be good. We're relying on you for you to testify b'fanai nechtav u'v'fanai nechtam. Ava me'aretz Yisrael. But from the Holy Land, where we don't need you to say b'fanei nechtam, because a get brought from the Holy Land, it's assumed that the Bezdin there, they know how to produce a document of divorce, so we're not relying on you, you're just basically FedEx, UPS, DHL, you're just a delivery guy. Delav alei kasam chinon, that we're not reliant on you. Yisus ishto, you're allowed to marry the wife. I mean, you're just a delivery boy. The fact that you're delivering the get, that's fine. There's nothing suspicious here. We're not afraid that a guy, Stamla, you know, concocted a get to marry the woman. We're afraid that maybe a guy will bring a get that's not kosher and testify falsely about it to marry the woman. So if you're bringing it from a Dina Sayam that we're relying on you, you can't marry. If you bring it from Eretz Yisrael that we are relying on you, if you're bringing from Esau that we're not relying on you, you can marry the woman. Says the Gemara, I, the Hames. But if you testify about someone who died, right? The Mishnah says if you say about someone that he died, you can't marry his wife. We're not relying on him. Because the master taught, right, if somebody testifies that somebody died, if an Eidecha testified that somebody died, really, we're not reliant on him, because in general you need two witnesses. So why, if you have one witness that somebody died, the woman could get remarried? So there's a halachic principle that since if she gets remarried and the husband walks in, she'll be usher to the husband and to her and to the one who she married. There's a principle of Isha Daika Uminsaba. Isha Daika Uminsaba says that before a woman is going to get remarried, she is going to look carefully and check and double check and triple check that her husband indeed died. Because if she made a mistake and she remarries and the husband walks in the door, she's going to be usher to her old husband and the new husband. So the truth is that even when somebody testified that somebody dies, we're not really relying on him. We're relying on the wife herself is doing her own independent investigation to make sure the husband really died. So the Gemara says, what's the difference if somebody brings a get from Eretz Yisrael? Were you allowed to marry his wife because we're not reliant on him, because we don't need him to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? But for hames, but when somebody dies and an aide testified that he died, the lav alei kasamchino, we're not reliant on him. The amar mar, because the master taught isha daiko minsaba, a woman investigates and then she marries. Uketani lo yisas ishtay, and it says you're not to marry his wife, but we're not relying on him. Because the woman's remarrying on her own private investigation. Why is it when someone brings a get, it's considered that we're not reliant on him when he brings a get from Eretz Yisrael? And when someone testifies that somebody died, we do rely on him. Says the Gemara, Hasam leka kisava hacha ika kisava. The answer is, the truth is, when somebody testifies that somebody died, we are relying on him. We're relying on his testimony. It's just she is going to double check that that testimony is accurate, but we are relying on the testimony. There's nothing else we're relying on. We're only relying on his oral testimony, which obviously she's going to try to verify. However, when somebody brings a get, we're not reliant on him at all, because the get itself testifies that they're divorced. When somebody says, Pliny died, the woman is reliant on that testimony. When someone brings a get from Eretz Yisrael, we're not relying on him at all. He's just a delivery boy. But we're not relying on him per se. Hasam lekuk sava. There, when you testify about somebody who died, there's nothing written. Hacha, here, when someone brings a get, ikuk sava, there is a written get. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, ma bein get lami. So what's the difference between a document of divorce and death? Shak sav moichiach, a document of divorce, you have something in writing. When someone dies, it's only based on sort of hearsay, someone's testimony. Okay. Abyssal weiter, a little bit more. Everyone good? Great. Good to hear.
What about the problem of Milsa Davil Leguye? He won't lie. I mean, that was the reason, not Daika Minsuba.
Milsa Davida Leguye. So you're saying, so we're not relying on him?
We are relying on him, but there's a reason that we could be trusted. Because of
the you're right. I mean, first of all, I believe the reason why an Eidach is believed is because of Daiko Mintzvah. I think that's the reason. I mean, does it say, there's another reason also, it's Avide Lugui? Okay, I remember the reason of Isha Daiko Minsuba. Let's see, where is this quoted from? He says, it's a Gemara later on, Sadi Gimel Amad Beis, Kuf Tes Vav Amad Aleph, Kuf Tes Zayin Amad Beis. Those Gemaras are about somebody who falls into, you know, like, Mayim She'en Lohem Soif, Mayim She'esh Lohem Soif. Remember the series on the Titanic? Okay. Fine. Mace, if somebody testifies the husband died, haragtiv, I killed him. Hargino, we killed him, la'yisashtai. Now, you can't marry him. You can't marry his wife. But she can get remarried based on your testimony. Somebody comes and said, lady, I killed your husband. So you can't marry the lady, but the lady could get remarried. Why? But if you say you killed her husband, you're a Rasha. Right? By the way, it's not good to kill people. You know that? It makes you a bad person. Someone who kills people is a Rasha. So if a guy says, I killed your husband, so he's not a good person. He's a Rasha, so how could we believe him? Why could she marry someone else? Hala acher tinasi, she could marry someone else. The Ha'amah Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef said, Ploini Ravani la'ainsi. If you say, Pliny sodomized me against my will. So it was the person did not want to be sodomized. Hu va'acher mitzarfen lahargai. Him and another guy could testify against Pliny to kill Pliny. Now, even though Pliny perpetrated this against one of the witnesses, nevertheless, the witness is still a good guy. It happened to him against his will. However, Lertsoini, let's say he says, Pliny sodomized me and I wanted him to. And him and someone else testify. So the guy, if he's saying I did it willingly, he's a Rashahu. Va Torah Amra al tashis yadcham rashalias eid chamas. The Torah says, do not place your hand with a wicked man to be a witness. So if somebody says, I was sodomized by my will, then he cannot be mitzvahed with someone else to kill Pliny, because he is considered a rasha, because he's saying he did it willingly. So likewise, if somebody said, I killed your husband, why could she marry someone else? If you're saying you killed her, you killed him, then you're saying you're a rasha. If you're a rasha, you're not Neman. All right? Marv Rabbi Yisai? On that note, I wish everybody an amazing evening. And Bez Hashem, tomorrow night at 9:15, we will do Chav Hei Amibes. And then next week, we already start the third parak of Yevamos. So thanks everyone for joining. Bracha v'atzlacha. Have a amazing evening. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.